really become a global sort of issue that everyone is talking about, including here in Canada. What are you seeing on that front?
Very much so. In fact, as you mentioned, here in Canada today, in Toronto, there were protests as well. Large crowds gathered on the street, blocking traffic as well. People protesting racism.
This is the sound of our times. Black Lives Matter. No justice, no peace. Say her name. I can't breathe. As the world goes from the depth of a pandemic to a fleeting, if misplaced, reprieve and back toward a deeper peril until that vaccine actually gets here, another pandemic comes to light. It's not that we have not been asked to recognize it and do something about it. No, we've had decades and decades to do something about this one. But in parallel with the worldwide effort to stop the COVID-19 coronavirus, much of the world is finally being awakened to the reality of another pandemic, one that's been going on for centuries, since it was first contrived for profit. Racism is a pandemic. What's new and what might give us hope that change might be coming is that recognition. In 2020, in the midst of a global spread of a deadly virus, the mass media awakens to one indisputable fact. Systemic racism is real. I'm Paul Cross. This is Crosstalk, Media History, Commentary, and Analysis, Season 5, Episode 6. 2020 will be remembered in history as the year of the great pandemic, of sickness and death and science and denial. But it will also be remembered as a year in which something changed. It's the year when, to a very large degree, mass media stopped questioning whether systemic racism exists, or is real, or is harmful, or means anything at all, and started reporting about it and talking about it in commentary and opinion as something that is real and has to change. There will be people who disagree with me on that. They've somehow missed the seismic shift. It's not to say there are not still deniers and racists active on radio and in podcasts and online and in what we used to call TV. But I've been doing this for a long time. Mass media reporting is changing. People who want to speak out against racism, systemic, and incidents that illustrate specific performative acts of racism and oppression are no longer treated as people who claim to have insight. No longer given arm's-length coverage as activists with an axe to grind. No, in 2020, under an avalanche of obvious, observable, and virally publicized cases, the issues are now reported as fact. The question is, what to do about it? If you've been listening this year, you have heard black people and other people of color saying, "It's not up to me to change things. We've been telling you. It's up to white people who benefit from the way things are to make them different." The issues are just so big. Honestly, I'm not sure what line comes next as I write this episode. I can't possibly do justice to the most egregious cases or name them all. You know the names that come to mind as examples of some of the most hideous cases of fatal racism and oppression at the hands of uniformed agents of the state. George Floyd, Breonna Taylor in the U.S., the cases in and around Toronto, Regis Korchinski-Paquette, DeAndre Campbell, Ijaz Chowdhury, the brutal beating of Defonte Miller. I think there is a hint that the increasing awareness of not just these names, their cases, the issues, is creating a change, a gnawing gut feeling of, what can I do? It seems a lot of people are starting here. Have you looked at the bestsellers list in the Globe and Mail lately? Racism, recognizing it in its many forms and uncomfortable truths, is the substance of what readers and listeners are consuming like never before. In the time of the pandemic, perhaps we have more time to listen now that we've heard the news, to listen and to think. One of the in-demand audiobooks this year is by Robin DiAngelo. She's white, grew up in the United States, never having to think of her race, she writes, though she was aware there was a group of people who did have to think of their race. Her thesis is white fragility.
Yet a critical component of cross-racial skill building is the ability to sit with the discomfort of being seen racially, of having to proceed as if our race matters, which it does. Being seen racially is a common trigger of white fragility. And thus, to build our stamina, white people must face the first challenge, naming our race.
D'Angelo's book, audio or in print, makes a worthwhile contribution to the conversation. So does How to Be Less Stupid About Race by Crystal Fleming. Much of the book is about her own experiences, but this is a case she goes into at some length. What happens at a panel discussion featuring Jessica Williams, Selma Hayek, and Shirley MacLaine?
At this point, Williams, best known for her appearances on The Daily Show, intervened to ask MacLaine, "I have a question for you. What if you are a person of color or a transgendered person who, just from how you look, you already are in a conflict?" MacLaine shot her down. "Right, but change your point of view. Change your point of view of being victimized. I'm saying find the democracy inside." Then Selma Hayek decided to gang up on Jessica, too. "I'm sorry," she said to Williams. "Can I ask you a question? Who are you when you're not black and you're not a woman?"
Fleming's book, How to Be Less Stupid About Race, is subtitled On Racism, White Supremacy, and the Racial Divide. White supremacy is the genesis of the stories in this new wave of writing. While I have singled out two American authors so far, there's also a wealth of Canadian writing. Among them, The Skin We're In, A Year of Black Resistance and Power by Desmond Cole, each chapter revealing another case of oppression and abuse that happened or developed right here during a month in 2016.
Black lives have no borders. We exist everywhere, regardless of the fact they may not want us to. The year was full of painful reminders that Black people are not wanted in Canada, that this is a land stolen from Indigenous peoples and ultimately colonized, just like my parents' native land of Sierra Leone, by white British settlers.
Cole left his weekly radio show covering issues of race and injustice when his book came out. That's his own voice there. The audio samples here are all taken from the audiobooks, which you can find through your library and on audible.ca. They're just a few in the growing stack where I live. Each new book or audio file, more rich context for what needs to change and what might come next. So what does come next? Perhaps having heard so much more in the news, having heard and seen a new aesthetic in the news, we're becoming more introspective. Am I someone who benefits from racist practice, from white privilege, white supremacy? If so, what should I do next? And is anything changing yet? I'm really just getting started here. Next time, I'll look at a few signs that some change might be afoot. This is Crosstalk. I'm Paul Cross. I study and I teach podcasting and radio.